world famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, a speedball of hillbilly humor here for you and yours each and every night. And, of course, it is a show that goes places other talk shows wish they could go, but they can't. And we just continue to press on regardless, in the words of Russ Wheeler, a guy I worked with 30 years ago. But I got to, you know, attribute that, right?
They'll get upset, you know.
No, I attribute everything, which is why you don't hear me attributing an awful lot on this show, because most of it I created myself. All right, now...
Right, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. All right, coming up, we have Pastor William Renick. Many people have wanted to hear from Pastor Renick on his travel to Mexico. And the reason why we mention that is because, as you know, Mexico has been a place of a great turmoil of late, and I really love that country, and I've visited there often and enjoy myself when I go there, but it's been a place of turmoil and I dare say some danger. We're going to talk to Pastor William Renick, who went on one of his pastoral visits to Mexico recently to find out the lay of the land there. Our number is 877, excuse me, I did a stutter step there, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and we're also online at philhenryshow.com, and if you go to our website, like for instance, posted there right now is something that people were requesting. What is that music you play during what we now call our pre-show Phil's Letter to the World? Well, we now post the music there. And our pre-show starts at 9:15 Pacific, 12:15 Eastern. If you have a backstage pass, you can enjoy me, if you call that enjoying something. I don't know.
That sounds like sexual. So.
Don't worry about it, okay?
What?
Don't worry about it. You can, with a backstage pass, you can enjoy the show starting at 9:15 on our video cast. We have live streaming video as well. So please do. Also, episode 9 of the Free Phil Henry podcast has now been posted. You can access that via the Phil Henry new podcast link that you will find there on our homepage at philhenryradio.com. Pastor William Renick is the spiritual leader there of Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California. He's a frequent contributor to our program on matters having to do with, I'd like to say religious or spiritual, Pastor Renick, but really you are just an advisor, and I think it's more appropriate. You sort of check in on things that are human, you know.
That's how I like to see it, Phil. You know, I'm glad you clarified that. I'm glad you separate that out, because I love to, I don't want to talk about just religious things, and I don't even see the life of Jesus Christ. When you talk about the life of Jesus Christ, you talk about the life of the Son of God. I don't see that as a religious topic. I see that as a life topic.
Right.
I see that as a life topic. I see that as a truth topic.
Exactly.
I don't try to limit that in the conversations that I have with people, whether it's in our church, or whether it is anywhere. Like tonight, I'm in our kitchen here, our church kitchen, where we're getting together a number of breakfasts. We're going to serve a pancake breakfast tomorrow to a lot of the people, the indigent people that live in the area here in Bellflower and the outlying areas in the South Bay. That's not religion. You know, that's not spiritual. That is a life and a truth topic. And so that's what we're doing.
When you traveled to Mexico, you were going down there as, you said, part observer and also to carry the spiritual message of your faith.
Let me tell you what we were doing. I went down, Clara, and we went because we wanted to travel to as far as we could go into the southern part of the country. That's not to say anything other than to say I wanted to get as far away from the U.S. border and as far away from America and immerse myself in this country, its culture, its people. And there's a people, you said it, Phil, there's a people that are suffering very greatly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're suffering very greatly at the hands of, you have like criminal enterprises, you have these drug dealers, these dope dealers, you have the murder gang, you have corrupt police in many instances, you've got a government that is not sure which direction it should turn. And it's a little bit many times you've got these politicians trying to fight this war with, you know, one hand tied around the you-know-what. You know, I'm not going to say, but this to me. So we landed
Where did you land and where did you travel to?
We landed at the airport there, Puerto Vallarta Airport. And we traveled by car. Immediately got into a van, a car. And we had a driver. And I was there also with Mr. Rayford, Pastor Rayford. Nelson Rayford, he and his wife were with us. And we decided to head as far south as we could to a village down there called De Loreto.
What is it again?
De Loreto. De Loreto.
Okay.
And we headed south. And I can tell you, Phil, if you're traveling in Mexico and you're coming down that highway going south of Mexico out of the Puerto Vallarta area, you are going to be encountering all kinds of dangerous situations. I can tell you at this time, as we headed south and as we got further and further south into and away from, you know, the build-up and more civilized there, I shouldn't say civilized, but the build-up areas, and going down into the poorer and poorer areas, you know, there was less opportunity for us to, you know, get things we might be used to, food, water, this kind of thing.
Well, now, how far out of off the main road were you?
We're going down that main road, yeah.
And I know I've been down that road. There's
Well, you might have been down the road, but if when I say that we didn't have the things you can get in a more built-up area, I'm not saying there weren't little grocery stores or anything like that.
Yeah, no, there's shops, and I guess there's the odd little bar or something.
Right. Well, but what I'm saying is this: when you get out of the car to go into those shops, you're not necessarily seeing people that are going to embrace you as a friend or putting the best foot forward. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So we continued traveling down. We continued, and I felt myself getting more and more nervous. And I felt myself getting more and more frightened, and I know that Clara was. And then we saw something that I don't think any of us anticipated. And I will hold on telling you about that if you want to go. Did you want to do a commercial?
No, we don't have to do a commercial. Is it something you...
I was going to hold off and tell people about this after the commercial break, because it was the beginning of a sort of private hell that I lived through and that I'm sure other people in the car lived through.
Well, we've got, if you don't mind, we've got a couple of minutes before the break.
All right, I have no problem, Phil. We drove, and then I saw something I have never seen before in my life, and I told myself just one word. All I said was one word to myself. I said Mexico. And I said a little bit of a prayer, because we were stopped by a man who was wearing a helmet. He was in his army uniform, and off the side of the road to my left, pointing in our direction, I'm not saying it was pointed at me, but they was pointing, was a machine gun, sandbags, and it was obviously the Mexican military. Now, I've never seen in any civilized country. And it was then that I knew that we've got to watch out.
It was the army who was there, yeah.
Right. We continued on, and they had asked for, you know, where you going. They said some things. I don't know what our driver said to them, but it was enough to allow us through. And I was, what's the word they used, Phil? I was sweating bullets. I came down, and we went down the road some more. Once again. Again, here comes another one. Now you know that you're getting into a part of the country that's dangerous, you know.
Right. Those are Army out their checkpoints, you know.
Hold on for a minute. Just hold on. You know you're getting into a part of the country that's dangerous. And once again, we came up on machine gun. This was in a sandbag.
Right. Yeah.
And well, you're saying it like you know what I'm talking about. Have you seen these?
Yes, I have. Yeah. It's you're right. It's a little disquieting.
No, it's not. No. It's not. What I saw, I don't know if you saw what I saw sandbag, machine gun, soldiers, and you are fighting to death. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand that, yeah. Let's take a break, okay, and hold on, because you're getting into the part of your story. I'm imagining you're going to be getting past these Army checkpoints.
That is exactly right, but the journey down there, Phil, was the most disquieting and frightening of any I've ever taken in my life.
All right, Pastor William Rennick is with us talking about his recent trip in Mexico through, right there you heard him describe a couple of Army checkpoints on his way to deliver a personal spiritual message to the people of Mexico. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here with Pastor William Renick and your phone calls. We come back here on this Monday night, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Pastor William Renick here and discussing with him a recent trip he took to Mexico, a trip that he took to spread his spiritual message as a pastor, as the religious leader of Joyful Union Congregation. He went there with his wife along with one other minister. And it was a jarring and a frightening, as you have said, Pastor Renick, experience. We're talking with him, and we'll be taking some phone calls of yours as well. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. There's so much that I want to ask you. You were traveling south from the Puerto Vallarta airport. You've hit one Army checkpoint, and the fear in the car, as you said, Pastor Renick, was palpable.
Absolutely, Phil. I mean, my wife, Claire, has been with me for a long time. She has been my wife, Claire, has been my sustenance. You know, she's been my friend. She's been my life's partner. You know, and I don't want to get emotional, but when I see, someone, this man, we pulled up at this Army checkpoint, and this is a man in an Army uniform, and he come to the car window.
Right.
And he said, I was talking to our driver, who obviously spoke Spanish. But I looked out the window to my left. I saw a belt-fed M60 on a tripod that pointed right at me. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That pointed at me. That's a weapon. That's a belt-fed M60 machine gun pointed not only at me, but it's pointed at my wife. And at that moment, I wanted to say to him, you know how it is if you're a husband or you're a father, you see. I'll tell you something. You get that gun pointed at my wife. You get that gun off my wife. I'll turn into Spider-Man, Superman. I will take that gun, and I will stick it right back up where you most likely got it in the first place, you know. And I'm a man of God, so forgive me, Phil. And
No, I know the feeling.
Forgive me for saying what I said, but I almost want to say to God, God, please forgive me what I'm about to do. I want to get out of this car, and I want to go to that sandbank. And I'll go to that Mexican and say, you know what, I'm going to take that gun. I'm going to wrap that right around your mama's head. Not you, but your mom. I'll go find your mother. That's how angry I was that man would take a machine gun.
It's their job, Pastor Renick.
What does that mean, it's their job?
It's what those soldiers have to do. They're those checkpoints in Mexico.
Let me tell you something. I'm on my way to deliver the word of Jesus Christ to the people of Mexico. And the Mexican army come on the road, at the road that I'm going on, and they set up a machine gun? Is that how much they hate Jesus?
No, sir. No. The Mexican army has those checkpoints because it's a violent situation in Mexico. And
let me tell you something. By the violence, I know all about the dope deal. I know it all. But at the moment that we arrived at that checkpoint, Phil, all I saw was a machine gun pointing at my wife. And
well, I mean, it's pointed at you.
No, that's the point that I'm trying to make, and please bear with me. I could see where that machine gun was pointed. It was aimed right at Clara. It was not aimed at me. It was not aimed at Pastor Holman. It was not aimed at Pastor Holman's wife. It was not aimed at the driver. It was aimed directly at Clara. And
well, you know they're not aiming it at her.
I'm not saying they're doing it. You got to listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're doing it on purpose. I'm saying that just so happened was aimed at my wife, and I wanted to get out of that car and go over to that soldier and say, excuse me, but you're not going to need this no more because you will die as soon as I turn it around on its tripod, belt feed a few more rounds into it, and go to work. Now, that's how I felt. And I don't want you to tell me me I don't have no right to my feelings, Phil.
I'm not saying that, Pastor. What I'm saying is...
Well, you're telling me that I got no rights to my feelings here. This is my wife.
No, sir, I'm not. I'm saying that the Mexican army is not aiming that at your wife. They're not aiming anything at anybody other than the rebels or drug dealers or who it is that they are attempting to interdict so that tourists and...
I'm not no tourist.
No, I understand that. But anybody traveling in the country, anyone traveling from out of the country inside Mexico, anybody, Mexican citizens, you know, are doing it safely because of the violence that has visited itself on that country.
Well, let me tell you the violence that has visited itself on Pastor William Renick. Let's talk about that, okay? I know all about the violence that got visited on Mexico. I want to talk about a little bit now about the violence that got visited on Pastor William Renick, because some violence got visited on me. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand, sir.
All right. Now we go through that other army checkpoint. We keep going and going and going. And we go through a third. And I, at that point, I was so frightened. And my wife was so frightened by these army and the machine gun they had. I wanted to jump out of the car and run. That's how I felt. You have to understand what I'm saying. I was so scared.
So it didn't matter to you?
Hold on for a minute, though.
No, but it didn't matter to you that these were Mexican army guys?
All I know is this. I'm down there to visit the people of Mexico and deliver the message of Jesus Christ. And all that the Mexican army wants to do to me is scare me half to death. By the time we got to that third checkpoint, I wanted to leap out of that car and start running into the jungle to get away from what I saw as a very serious threat.
Well, okay, and what about your wife?
That's what I'm saying to you. At that point, I was so terrorized by these Mexicans that I was going to leave my wife. I was going to leave Clara. I was going to leave her. And she could get machine gunned by that Mexican because I didn't care anymore. I got to the point where I didn't give a damn. Excuse my language, but that's even where I got. So you see, that was such a terrifying experience. I lost all faith in Jesus Christ.
Well, you can't do that as a man of the cloth.
Excuse me, Phil. Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Who are you to tell me what I can or can't do?
But if you're a representative, if you're a minister...
Yes, I am a minister. But you don't understand what a Mexican did to me by having a machine gun pointed at my wife. And
by having a machine gun pointed... Don't you say, if you're a man of faith...
Whoa. Please don't. Phil, please don't do that. Don't try to start telling me all about it, how it all breaks down. Because I know how it all breaks down. And how it all broke down for me on that fateful day, as we came up to Army Checkpoint 3, I said, God forgive me. Please, go ahead and you can open up on Clara. I've got to get out of here. God help me for saying that. But I don't care if you open up on her. If you take that whole car and make it look like if you saw that movie I saw it the other night, Bonnie and Clyde movie. Have you ever seen a Bonnie and Clyde car, Phil?
Yes, I have.
God forgive me for saying this. I didn't care if that car that was taking me down to talk the message of Jesus Christ to the Mexican people, if it looked like the Bonnie and Clyde car when he got done with it, I had to get out of there.
I don't see how any of this is acting like a man of faith.
I'm telling you, there comes a time when the forces of the devil are going to put you on the run. I was about to start sprinting into a jungle. I had to get away.
Let me get a phone call here, okay?
What's that?
I've got to get a phone call up here. I got Jack on the line here, 877-876-PHIL. Jack on the line here with us from Denver. Go ahead, Jack. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hi, Phil. Listen, I talked to this man, Pastor Renick. I wanted to echo what Mr. Hendry was saying. Why didn't you have enough of the faith in God to stay in the car not start to run away from the machine gun?
Well, I did not. Sir, you understand, I didn't jump out of the car and start running. I said I wanted to.
But Phil said, why didn't you have enough of the faith to stay in the car?
Stay in the car, sir, and you want me to stay in the car and get machine gunned by the Mexican when I've got a clear shot to the jungle?
No, but why did you even think such a thing? Was your wife hurt?
No, my wife is not hurt, sir. And my wife is not hurt because I had that faith. I'm saying to you that it was so frightening in Mexico that I wanted to take off and sprint and find cover in the jungle until dark fell and I could maybe get out on the road and make my way south
under the cover doctors. That doesn't sound like someone who has a paper.
All right, hold on. We got to take a break here. 877-876-PHIL. That's Jack talking to Pastor William Renick, who was frightened to death in his recent trip to Mexico by these army checkpoints. We'll be back to find out the culmination of this journey here. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Still got Jack on the line here, 877-876-PHIL, and I've got Pastor William Renick from Joyful Union Congregation. And Jack, go ahead and finish up. I want to get a little more of the pastor's story.
Okay. All I wanted to say, Phil, to this pastor Renick is, I don't understand this fear. If you are a man of God, you believe in God, then why you would leap from your car to run to the jungle and to play into, for instance, that's a stereotype who's going to play into. What do you mean by, I don't understand what you mean by stereotype. Well, if you're a black man running into a jungle. Hey, look at it.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I'll tell you what it means. It's trying to be racial. And no, sir, I'm not to be racial. This came to my mind. It sounds to me like you don't even come from America, so you might not be aware of the sensitivity of some of the things you're saying. I'm not saying anything bad. You are saying something bad. You tell me, Pastor William Renick should jump and run. If I jump and ran into the jungle, I'll run through the jungle. But you know that song by Creedence Clearwater Revival? I'm sorry, what? Do you know a song as Creedence Clearwater Revival?
I know the song.
But what is it?
The run through the jungle?
Yes, sir. And if Pastor Renick was to run... You know, they do that as a soundtrack to the life of Pastor Renick, a run through the jungle, you know? So when people...
All right, I cut him off. He sounded like a dumbass.
A dumbass? God, Phil, I can't believe that you let that man on the air as long as you did. I can't believe you let that man on the air as long as you did.
I apologize, but he sounds to me like he might have been sincere.
Sincere about what?
Some run through the jungle thing. He said that if you got out of the car, you didn't get out of the car.
I did not get out of that car, but let me tell you something. Had I gotten out of that car and had I run for my life, no man alive could say I'd done the wrong thing. I don't believe I did do the wrong thing.
I believe, now you're going to hear from me here.
Go ahead. Phil, I love you and I want to hear your opinion. You know I love you, right?
I do, Pastor, but, you know, I've got some things to say here that you might not like.
I'm fine with what you have to say to me. I have no problem with what you have to say if it is said with love and it is said with a belief in the truth.
What I'm trying to say to you is you went through three Army checkpoints that were there for your protection, to be honest with you.
You're right there. You don't know your... Excuse me for saying I'm a man of God, but you don't know your ass. And I just said it. And I said that with the blessings of God. I know I did. I know I just said ass with God's blessing. And I know if you say ass...
Okay, what is your point?
My point is, you don't know your ass from a hole in the ground. What I'm trying to tell you, Phil, is when I pulled up to that Army checkpoint, it might be there for certain people, but for myself and for Claire and for the other pastor, that Army checkpoint in Mexico, they don't want me taking Jesus' word down to the people because they had a machine gun that put fear into me. And I'll tell you something right now. If I truly was supposed to trust those people, God would not have said to me... God told me there's something wrong here. And if I give you the high sign, you got to bolt from the car and head for that clearing.
And God told you that?
Yes, God told me that. God told me this, Phil, as I traveled through Mexico. God told me this, Phil, as I came upon the Army checkpoint. God told me this, Phil, as I seen that M60 on a tripod, that belt-fed M60. That machine gun made in the United States of America, and you know as well as I do, the American Army and American arms makers supply all this to the Mexicans. And so they have a great deal of experience in Mexico, in the United States, I mean, cutting down a man of color.
And oh, come on. Look, do we have to go there?
I'm just telling you. But God told me, he said, when I give you the high sign, I want you to bolt.
I don't care whether that machine gun pointed at Claire. It don't make no... Never mind to me. Claire's going to be fine. I want you both. And I want you one clear. You get to that clearing, lay down, wait for the high sign.
Who? What is this?
What do you mean, what is... I just got done telling you. It's God...
It's God giving you... God's talking to you.
Yeah, God's telling me this.
God's telling you, bolt from the car, get to the clearing, wait for the high sign.
Yes! Oh, okay. So, in other words, Phil, here we go. This, I always love this point of the Phil Henry Show. This is the point in the interview where Phil now gets to roll his eyes, give me the curled lip routine, and behind my back, you're calling me nuts, aren't you?
No, I'm not, but I'll tell...
Yes, you are, behind my back! You call me nuts. Let me tell you something, Phil.
No, I am not calling you nuts behind your back. I am saying, though... That sometimes we have thoughts that we think God has put into our head.
Well, hold on for a minute now. You played a song.
No, I've got to get some calls, and I've heard enough from you, and I need to get some phone calls up here. Do you mind?
No, do I mind? No, I don't mind at all, Phil. I'm not afraid of anything. In the words of Martin Luther King, I fear no man. All right?
Okay, let's keep Martin Luther King's name out of this, and let's just continue to press forward with this description of you in Mexico.
Out of it. Why do I keep my...
I don't want Martin Luther King's name dragged through this. This is a discussion the likes of which I'm not really clear about, okay? 877...
What do you mean drag? Phil, I'm not trying to...
Hold on. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We've got Professor Emory Clayton on the line with us here from California tonight, Canyon College. Professor, meet Pastor Rennick.
The Pastor Rennick, how are you? It's Professor Emory Clayton, sir. How are you? I'm doing fine. You're talking about my trip to Mexico. I understand that, and I listened to the interview as Phil has been conducting this. Phil, I must say, I don't have a problem with what you've been saying tonight. I think a great many of the things you've said tonight need to be said, and that is that there's some overreaction going on. Now, I'm the first man, believe me, I'm the first man to say... that the indigenous peoples, the people, the third world people, especially the Mesquite peoples and the lower class Mexican people in Mexico, I'm the first man to say that they have been trod on and they have been stoved in.
Right.
And they have been worked over.
Yeah.
And they have been touched and grabbed and pushed and pulled. And they have been the victims of the power play between these large technocratic and super economic systems.
Yeah!
I'm the first man to say that, but I have to tell you, Pastor Rennick, I'm not in agreement with you here when you say that you had to bolt and you want to run through the jungle like some kind of swamp-running, jungle-running...
Hold on. Now, you misunderstand what I'm saying entirely, okay?
But if I'm misunderstanding something, please tell me, because I think you're a disgrace.
How am I a disgrace?
You a disgrace. You talk about swamp running, tree climbing.
He didn't say that, Professor Clayton. He said...
Oh, hold on, Phil. I'm the first man in line behind Pastor Rennick in my respect for you. I think you've been a fair man, but hold on, okay? These are two black men talking to each other, and I need you for just a moment, okay?
Phil, I'll catch you. I'll catch you after the conversation, Phil. I got to talk here.
And we ain't going to catch him or nothing. I'm telling you. That you had a woman in that car. Did you have a beautiful black woman in that car with you, your wife, Clara?
You better believe I did.
And you were going to bolt and run to a clearing and wait for a word from a supernatural, invisible boogeyman. Was that what you were
going to
do?
Oh, let me tell you something, my man.
That's what you were going to do, wait for the word from the invisible boogeyman, huh? Now, let me tell you something.
Tell me nothing. I'm going to tell you. I was not going to leave my wife. Yes, okay, I was going to a clear... First of all, you ever heard of having to relieve yourself?
And now you're trying to tell me that you had to go to the bathroom. You come up with every kind of concoction, every kind of silly story. I'm sick and tired of listening to people like you making excuses. You understand me? You went down there to speak to those indigenous peoples and deliver to them the message that you wanted to deliver. Why didn't you do that instead of you thinking about saving your own hide? Running from the Mexican machine gun supplied by the U.S. super military, I understand that.
You're talking like an idiot now.
I'm not talking like an idiot. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to an idiot. There's a difference between talking like an idiot and talking to an idiot. And I'm talking to an idiot.
You can insult me all you want, brother. Let me tell you something. I saw an M60.
You saw an M60. I was in Vietnam. I know exactly what an M60 gonna do. I know how to point one. I know how to fire one. I know how to belt feed one. And they had that gun pointed down the road past your car, and they're not a word about you and your silly little party of people going down to, and probably going to some hotel.
That's exactly right.
I'm going down to a beautiful hotel called Mariposa de Oro, which is where we had reservations. And guess what? Guess what? You got to check in by 6. You want to get turn down service. Now, all that stuff doesn't make any mind to you. You don't care about that. But to get your turn down service, is that it?
Wait. Hold on for a minute.
Did you hear that?
Hold on. Wait a minute. Turn down service, check it into a hotel. I thought you were going down there to tell your message to the people, the religious message.
Yes, exactly what I was going to do. Exactly. Now, hold on, because you let this man run his big fat mouth. What, Bill? I've had all I can take of this, Phil. I've had all I can stand of this. I'm going to hang my phone up, and I'm not going to turn my radio up. I'm going to turn my radio down. I'm going to hang my phone up. I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to go away from this, because it makes me sick to my stomach. Can I make myself clear? Turn that mess off on the radio. Yeah, see, look, that's the kind of guts he got.
All right, well, you know something, Pastor? Were you on your way to a hotel down there, or were you not?
Yes, I wasn't, Phil, because I was thinking about sleeping in the car for the night. Of course I was. I was going to a hotel. And I was going down to that hotel because I wanted to practice. I wanted to practice the message that I was going to deliver to the people the next day, as soon as I was able to settle in, and as soon as I was able to get everything organized, I was going to tell the people what I wanted to say to them. And that's what I couldn't get out. That's what I wasn't able to tell you or tell anybody. Because that loudmouth, motor mouth, Clayton Emery and all them other people wouldn't let me get the message out. The message is a simple one, Phil. The message has been a long time coming. I even hired a piano player. I hired a tambourine player. I hired a bass player, drummer. I even hired Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes to sing along with me. As I was going to sing this song for you and everybody out there in America. It goes something like this. Harold, Blue Notes, you with me?
Will you get to the song?
Sorry. I'm just waiting for the build-up.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed.
Yeah.
No more backward thinking.
No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead.
World has changed so very.
Oh, yeah.
From what it used to be.
What are you doing now? Shut up, Clara.
There's so much.
You tell me to shut up. Clara, no.
Poverty.
What happened?
Clara hit me.
Wake up all the teachers. Time to teach a new
got
way.
Got to teach a new way, you know.
Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to
maybe
say.
Maybe they'll listen to what you got to say.
They're the ones who's coming.
So this was going to be your sermon, huh?
And back off, will you, Phil? You woke my permanent heart. Yeah.
Teach them the very best can.
Now, here's a big part of the message right here. Right here. Now. Whoa! Won't get no bad.
Okay, shut up. God.
Sorry, I got carried away. I got carried away, Phil.
You got carried away. Let's take a break, okay?
Yeah, you go ahead and take your break, but I'm gonna.
I'm gonna take a break, okay?
Take a break. Oh yeah.
Phil Henry Show, 877-877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back with Pastor William Renick as we continue discussing his trip to Mexico, which I guess went a lot better than he said.
Oh, yeah!
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Tell you what, we're back here with Pastor William Renick. You're traveling through Mexico. You've got these army checkpoints. You're clearly, in my opinion, you overreacted. Hold on, Pastor. I'm not done.
Well, I think that's unfair, Phil.
Hold on. I'm not done. Clearly, I believe you overreacted to the idea that there were army checkpoints in Mexico. There will be. It is a country fraught with internal strife. There's violence. There are armed gangs. The government is trying to get a handle on a bad situation there. So the army checkpoints should have been something you would expect.
Phil, I'm glad you're such an experienced world traveler.
Well, no, Pastor, that's not it at all. Then you're looking to bolt from the car to save your wife. To save your own life.
No, you had it right at first. I bolted from the car to save my life, but save my wife, because I realize if I bolt from the car, it will draw their machine gun fire away from her. But at the same time, when I realized it would draw the machine gun fire away from her and onto me, at the same time, you see, I decided, well, that ain't good either. So I didn't bolt.
So you didn't bolt. You stayed in the car, and they would shoot her.
I was thinking of another option. That's when the car took off. I knew they didn't.
Okay, so here's the point. You went down to a hotel.
Well, you're going to call me. I know you're going to call me something that drops out of the butt end of a horse.
No, I wasn't, and hold on for a minute. You were going to stay in the car. You were going where? To a hotel, Mariposa de Oro in Cruz de Laredo. Is that the name of it?
Yeah, that's the name of it. What are you got a problem where you're staying? So you got a problem with me staying somewhere nice?
Nice? This is a place that's $1,200 a night. Pastor, it's a luxury hotel.
It is a place that was picked out for me. I don't care about the luxury hotel part. You want to indict me because of a hotel I was staying at. What I'm trying to tell you is that what we had to navigate and what we had to negotiate to get down to this hotel was living hell on this earth that you have decided to minimize or otherwise cast aside as insignificant, Phil. You're saying to me that, well, that doesn't make any difference because where you were going, that's like saying, hey, as long as you're going to get to heaven, who cares what kind of living hell you got to go through? Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, a lot of people go through living hell to get to heaven. I would rather not. Doesn't mean do I have to? I mean,
well, you're the pastor. Why don't you tell me? You know,
Phil, that's dirty pool. That's unfair of you. You got me in a corner now. I'm trying to tell you I had no bad intentions at all. I was simply trying to make my way from the hotel at the airport at Puerto Vallarta down to this very nice hotel without my ass getting shot. But you don't care about that.
Yes, I do care about that.
Then why are you all of a sudden taking side of everybody against me?
Because you're sitting here saying that at one point you decided to bolt from the car because the Mexicans might machine gun Clara, and you didn't want to be around that. You're telling me that you got scared to death concerning the Mexican soldiers in general, and you felt that there was something wrong with that. You didn't have any faith in God. You're exhibiting no real faith in anything here. You're exhibiting just stark raving fear, which gives you the excuse to do just about anything you want, including bolting into the jungle and running there, even though that one guy said that was kind of a racist thing.
Well, that one guy, you didn't say nothing to that guy. That guy sounded like he was Dutch. He had an accent on him, and I'm very good at sounding like a Dutchman or something like that.
So what if he was Dutch?
Because that's a whole other world of white man. Let me tell you something about the Dutch, okay?
What has this got to do with race? You bringing race into this now?
No, hey, who's the guy? He's not a pastor, he's a professor.
Emery Clayton.
Yeah, him. He's the guy that brought race into it. Now, you get a Dutch man on your radio show, Phil. You get a man from Holland on your radio show. Now, you listen to me. And, brother, you're dealing with a whole different kind of white man. That's a whole other kind of breed. Now, I've talked to a lot of white people in my life, some in my church. And I like a lot of them. I like you, Phil. You trying to tell me about a Dutchman? No, thank you.
And what's wrong with a Dutchman?
That's a whole other kind of white. And
well, what does that mean? And you don't even know that the guy was Dutch. 877-876 Phil, talking with Pastor William Rennick. Got a couple of more minutes here. We'll take some more phone calls here. On the line we have Rudy. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Pastor Rennick.
Actually, I've got a couple of questions for this man. Sir, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm good. What's your name, sir?
Yes, sir. My name is Rudy.
Yes, sir.
Sir, I'm not from Mexico. I come from Argentina. But I've listened to you say that Mexican soldiers there...
Where'd you say this from?
Said I'm from Argentina.
Okay.
And the Mexican soldiers there was Phil said they were to protect you from the possibility of banditos, any of these insurrection forces that drug dealers and the drug cartels that infect Mexico at this particular time. When you got to the hotel, and Mr. Henry said they say $1,200 a night, it seems to me that I would put up with a great deal to go to a hotel like that. Okay,
now, let me tell you about this hotel I went to, though.
I don't think you need to tell me of the hotel that you went to.
No, it was an eco-tourism hotel. Now, listen to me. If you think I had it good just because it's $1,200 a night, you know that this eco-tourism hotel, they don't let you use toilet paper. Now, think about that.
No, sir, that's
they don't let you use what?
They don't even let you use toilet paper because it's bad for the environment. And I got down there and said to Claire, where's the room? Well, they gave us a room. It was a nice room. Had a nice view, all this. But then I said, I can't use toilet paper because it clogs up the... It's going to clog up the birds or something. Wherever the birds eat, there's too much...
It's an aviary, don't it?
Okay, I got to... Thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
But still,
I got to go. Thank you, Pastor William Renick. We'll be... It clogs up the birds. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Lots of news ahead. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. Jerry Sandusky in the news. Oh, man. I'll be glad when that's done. And also, these hackers arrested by the FBI, and they're now attempting their extradition. We got that and more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL. And also, we're online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. That's the online home of the Phil Hendry Show. We have a live video cast of our show every night. You can watch us perform the Phil Hendry Show by watching Phil TV in HD. You can also listen to thousands of hours of archived radio. We have thousands of hours of archived radio because we're proud of our radio show, and so we have radio shows that go back over 10 years. You're not going to find any other radio show with a website that has anywhere near that amount of material, because most guys doing radio shows these days, well, they're trying to just get rid of the evidence.
That's not nice, man.
All right, that's not nice, right? But anyway, we have all that stuff, so go and check it out. Over a decade worth of audio, and we also have our video archive as well. We have a year's worth of video and audio archives from our Saturday night show, which we no longer do. And we also have lots of other goodies, video archives of all kinds of appearances on TV, TV pilots, stuff like that, interviews that we've done. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and listen to the free Phil Hendry podcast while you're there. You can access that by way of the podcast banner. You'll see it there on the left-hand side of the screen. All right. Now, we just got done talking about Mexico, and as fate would have it, the G20 summit is taking place. A G20 summit meeting is taking place in Mexico at, I believe it's Los Cabos. Is that where they are? And one of the things that the British press is writing about, which I think is absolutely hysterically funny and also kind of sad, because this is just the British press, David Cameron's there, he's the Prime Minister of Great Britain, is that he did an interview on TV yesterday, or the day before, or something, and the interview that he did blocked the view of the beach.
What?
Yeah. Blocked the view of the beach. So people were angry, and I guess if you live in England where there isn't, it's not the most tropic place in the world, it is summertime, but, you know, they want to see the beach. Maybe that's more important than the summit. I don't know. R.C. Collins is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. He's on the line with us here. We're going to talk a little bit about what we had just been discussing. R.C., you there?
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
Okay, R.C., you are a senior cadet?
Yes, sir. I'm part of the senior class of cadets at Bradley Military Academy.
Okay, and I got an interesting email from the senior class, as well as from your faculty advisor, Captain Jeffcoat, saying that you wanted to discuss the security situation.
Well, we wanted to discuss, Mr. Henry, the security situation in Mexico, because of President Obama and the Secret Service. And it seems to us that the Secret Service, which has demonstrated the kind of poor judgment that they did when the president was down there in the Chilean area, which I don't know if it was in the Chilean area or not.
No, it was in Colombia.
Yes, sir, it was in Colombia. My mistake, but the form of bad judgment that they used at that time was of such a striking nature, I think, that we are curious if the Secret Service has, you know, have they tightened up operations and are they really ready to protect the President of the United States or not.
Okay, so you are curious about that, and what steps have you taken? I mean, I'm just to give you an opinion.
Yes, sir.
I would say that, and maybe you could turn the TV down.
Yes, sir. Let's turn the TV down. Bradley, turn the TV down, man. Yes, sir.
I would have to assume, and, you know, as they always used to say, when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me.
I'm not familiar with that, sir, but I agree with you.
Okay, hold on. So when the original situation took place in Colombia, this dereliction, I don't think I'm too far afield of describing it as such, this dereliction of duty, this intemperate behavior on the part of the Secret Service, they're charged to protect the President of the United States. I believe in my heart that steps were taken. I want to believe in my heart that steps were taken to tighten things up.
Yes, sir, and I think we all want to believe that, and I would never, ordinarily, I would never pollute, if you will, in any cross-service way the operations or the decisions that is made by another bunch of people in the American military or police or whatever that they do. But I don't know that I can make that assumption. And this is not political, by the way. This has got to do with the fact that the President of the United States, whether he's a Democrat or a Republican or liberal or anything, that doesn't make any difference, the President of the United States. You know,
no, I agree with you.
He has to be protected.
No, I absolutely agree with you, of course. It doesn't matter whether I agree with him politically or whether I think he's a good president or bad president. He is a symbol. He's the head of state as well as the head of government. He symbolizes our country every bit as much as the office of the president symbolizes our country, but as much as the flag. And certainly when our president travels abroad, he must be protected. Having said that, though, what do you think is indicative of anything that may lead you to believe the Secret Service is not on the job?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious the fact that they're in a country like Mexico, which, to my way of thinking, and again, as a cadet at Bradley Military Academy, I eventually want to go to West Point and be in the B to Fort Benning and or to Fort Bragg to join the airborne, which is my personal, you know, selection. So my goal is not military police or anything like that. I want to be airborne. I want to get down in it. I want to go off and make trouble. But I still, you know, as the commander-in-chief, you know, we're curious about the safety precautions. And
I understand that, but what about what has been going on? So the trip is to Mexico.
Yes, sir. The trip is to Mexico. It is a well-known playground for, you know, a lot of people go there. Certainly a lot of Americans who have money and are maybe not as favorably disposed to our country politically as they should be. They have the money and the time to lay around, and I'm sure you can imagine, and we've all known people. A lot of these people who are Americans and they have the money to lay around and badmouth their country and talk bad about it. I think that in that group could be people who are, you know, have a bad influence on the Secret Service and everything about that.
And all right. So, well, I mean, you know, it's interesting because RC, Los Cabos is a place. There's Los Cabos, San Jose. There's Los Cabos. There's a couple of them, and it seems to be a place that anybody with any kind of money, even if you're not that wealthy, can go and enjoy yourself.
Well, I understand that, Mr. Henry. My experience, though, unfortunately, is with my own mother, who I To this day, I maintain relations with her insofar as I do love my mother, but I have also, I maintain relations with her just out of respect. When father came into my life and I was able to move to Northern California, eventually went into Bradley Military Academy, that's when I was able to disassociate myself with, this mother of mine who is very loose. Her morals are loose, the sexuality and everything that she does. And, unfortunately, that's been my only experience.
Well, you're telling me that your mother, who you obviously don't have any respect for.
No, that's not true, sir. I do respect.
Well, you just got done saying she's loose sexually. I don't know that these are things that a 17 or 16-year-old boy should comment on.
Well, I beg to differ, Mr. Andrew. I mean, my mother's morality and looseness of how loose she was had a big impact on my child in the childhood that I go through. And
all right, but all right. So you're telling me, though, more to the point of what we're talking about. You're telling me that did she go to Cabo and?
Yeah, she did. Yes, sir.
Okay, and she was. Did your mother have money?
Both of my parents have money. My father, left my mother when he divorced her with good reason, I think, because of her alcohol use and the lewdness. My father did leave her with a spousal support.
Okay, I don't need to know that, but she has. She had or has money?
Yeah, she has, and she had, have, and she has, had, have, and she had, and she does have.
All right, so your mother has money, she went to Mexico, and she behaved in this manner, and that's what you're basing this on.
Mr. Henry, I'm basing it on my experience with my mother and her friends and every, it's more than just my mom, sir, okay?
I just wanted to know.
Yeah, it's more than my mom, it's the lewdness and the lewd behavior is more than my mom.
All right. Hold the line. R.C. Collins with us, a cadet at Bradley Military Academy. And he and I got a very nice letter written by their faculty advisor, Captain Jeffcoat, on behalf of the senior cadets questioning or worrying essentially about the safety of President Obama in Mexico, what with a Secret Service that they say, quote, and I'm quoting the letter, seriously compromised by degenerate elements in Colombian society, end quote. 877, and they're afraid the same thing could happen in Mexico. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we'll talk about all of that.
About that.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Thank you, too.
All right, we're here with R.C. Collins, who is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy. This young man is concerned with the safety of the president as he travels through Mexico, or at least is in Mexico, for the G20 summit. You're concerned with the safety not because there aren't enough Secret Service, but because you feel the Secret Service was compromised.
Yes, sir, and please understand, Mr. Hendry, I'm not saying that the Secret Service got compromised like they're, Russians or anything like that, So, Mr. Hendry,
Yeah, no, I know that.
Yeah, because we're not saying that they went Russian or that they've gone rogue, which is a term that they use. That means that if you go rogue...
it means that you're, no longer under the command and control of your authorities.
Yeah, yes, sir, that's correct. And we don't think that there's no... Secret Service. Turn it down, will you, Brad? I don't think there's no Secret Service that has been, they're gone rogue. We're just saying that they're, it's possible they're gone, like, not been, how you'd call it, but they're gone, not been.
What are you saying, son? I'm sorry to, I don't mean to speak down to you.
What?
When you go, they're gone, been?
No, I mean, what I've said is they've been, when they were in Colombia, and they were, I mean, let's face it, they were bird dogging prostitutes and hanging and banging and.
Okay, all right, I understand. They were not acting in the most professional way.
Yes, sir. And so I think that there is a chance that if they go to the same kind of rogue, not rogue, but if they're in a way, it's rogue mentality in Mexico, bird dogging prostitutes and you know, going after beef. I don't mean to...
Okay, well, we don't need to use that kind of language.
I apologize, sir.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, that the guys are down there behaving in possibly a very juvenile way.
Yes, sir, and that'd be the thing, and that'd be the thing that we'd be more concerned about it more than anything else.
Okay, and have you and I've got some stories here about the G2. I don't think I have any G20 rather. I don't have anything here that indicates whether or not the Secret Service is doing the job. Have you read any books on the Secret Service? Did you read any books about the Secret Service after the assassination of President Kennedy?
Well, no, not I haven't educated myself. I'm sorry to say, sir, up to that degree.
Okay, because I can tell you that. There, so much has gone into the culture of the Secret Service. So much has affected that agency since President Kennedy's assassination, for instance. It's been a very it was a very traumatic event, as you can well imagine. But it began a revolution, if you will, in the Secret Service, where the need to secure the president became uppermost, and then came President.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're burning daylight here. What's the bottom line?
Hey, you know what? I'll burn as much daylight as I want to. Okay.
I'm sorry, sir, but you were just going on and on and on.
Well, if I got to go on and on and on, that's what I'm going to do.
Yes, sir.
What I'm saying is this: with the ascension to the presidency of a Black American, an African American. It put it back into the Secret Service that mindset post Kennedy assassination, meaning we've got to tighten up and we've got to understand what's at risk here and what's at stake.
Well, I wasn't even thinking about the color of the president. I was thinking about the Mexican situation. And
okay, so white or black, being in Mexico.
White, no, but white or black, having a Secret Service that's in Mexico that is prone to. Bird dog. Well, you don't want me to say it, but
I know bird dog and prostitutes and drinking margaritas and stuff like that.
Well, yes, sir.
All right, 877-876-7445 here on the Phil Henry Show. Let's go to Don. We've got Don Berman on the line from the Channel 19 newsroom. Don, how are you?
Phil, I'm doing very well, and a very good evening to the young man there. Your name is RC, correct, sir?
I don't know if he can hear you, Don. Say it again.
RC, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, RC, this is Don Berman. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
All right, and my job as a newsman has enabled me to travel with a number of presidents. All right?
Yes, sir.
And are you aware of the, you know, I've traveled with presidents. I've been on the road with presidents. I've gone to G20 summits with presidents, and I've seen the Secret Service operate up close and in a very up close way because of my access to the president.
Okay, sir. Yes, sir. Are they? I mean, do you? I don't know what you did. Were you in the a valet or?
See, this is what I mean, Henry. You know, I don't.
Oh, whoa, hold on for a minute.
Oh, there's no point.
Hold on for a minute. What's the problem?
There's no point. I told you this off the air, and I don't want to keep.
I'm sorry, sir. What'd you say?
Nothing. I'm not talking to you right now. I told you, Henry, that I...
Okay. RC, do you know who Don Berman is?
No, sir. I don't know.
See what I'm saying? He doesn't know who I am, and he just called me a valet. All right? So thank you very much, Phil. It's been a pleasure.
Did I do something wrong?
No, you didn't do anything wrong. That's a guy who's got a huge inflated ego, and because you didn't recognize that he was a newsman, a local TV newsman... He got upset and just hung up.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. I don't know.
No. There's nothing to apologize for.
I never heard of Don Berman. I mean, when he said, "Are you?" You know, when he was talking about having access to the president, the first thing I thought of was, "Is he like his butler or something like that?"
Yeah. Well, that's what got him to hang up.
Well, I apologize, sir.
Nothing for you to apologize. Nothing for you to apologize about. You know, Don's got a huge ego, and he didn't like being called a butler. And you know what? Maybe sometimes you just have to kind of... So he's back on the line. Don, you hung the phone up on me, didn't you?
Let me tell you something. No, I don't have a huge ego. I just heard that. I didn't want to have anything to do with you anymore, any longer. I never was going to be on your show again until I hung the phone up and my arm hit the volume knob, and it happened to turn up, and I heard you say that I've got a huge ego. You've got a real, I'll tell you.
Your arm hit the volume knob, and it happened to turn up.
Yeah, that sounds like a load of voodoo.
A load of voodoo?
I was going to say bull, a bad word, and then I realized I can't say that on the radio, so I went to doo-doo, and it came out voodoo.
You know something, Phil? I want to say something to you, and I don't want to be interrupted.
No, you don't want to be interrupted, but you hung up on me.
I want to say something to you, and I don't want to be interrupted by either you or Mr. I forget your name. I'm sorry.
That's okay, sir. I don't care if you forget my name. It's Collins, R.C. Collins.
So that didn't bother you?
No, it didn't.
I'm telling you, Henry.
See, everything you're trying to humiliate people or to get back at that kid, it's not working.
Was that meant to get back at me?
Yes, it was. He went, oh, what's your name? Because he wanted you to be embarrassed.
You know something, Henry? Why don't you just let me say what it is I want to say?
Go ahead and say it.
I came on your program here to tell about the presidents that I've traveled with, the G20 summits that I've been to, and instead I've got a young man here who's never heard of me, and in point of fact, not only has he never heard of me, but he confused BS with doo-doo, came up with... I can't believe that I'm talking to an idiot like this.
Well, you know something, sir? You're not breaking no world records for being no brain surgeon, neither. And
I'm not breaking no world records for being... And the guy... I know what it was. He said, voodoo. It's a bunch of voodoo.
I'm sorry that you have to be humiliated to be on the radio with a guy like that, Don.
No. You're not sorry about anything. You're not...
877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back in the next segment with more here on the security of the president in Mexico. The Secret Service, have they evolved? Have they learned their lesson? We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Well,
that's okay. The big ego case.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We're always happy to have on the line with us Guy Burton and Kurt Queedy, a couple of guys who have been longtime contributors to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and they are on the line from Charleston, West Virginia tonight, as they are when they are generally with us. It's right after a session of the West Virginia State Senate, the legislature. And we also have R.C. Collins on the line with us from Bradley Military Academy. I want to say hello to Guy. How are you, Guy?
Phil, I'm very good, and this is Kirk Queedy. Guy is right now, he's just coming over here. Guy, go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry, I was indisposed at that.
He's in the men's room.
Oh, in the men's, all right. How are you, gentlemen?
Phil, we're doing very good.
I want to let everybody know, this is Kurt Queedy. Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton.
Yes.
And they're with us from the West Virginia State House there. I know you guys were having something to eat this evening. On the line with me is R.C. Collins.
Hello, sir. Your name is what, son? R.C. Collins, sir. R.C., how are you? This is Kirk Weedy.
R.C., Guy Barton. How are you, sir?
Yes, sir. Very good. Thank you.
And we're talking, Guy and Kurt, about President Obama's Secret Service protection. And R.C. is a young man at a military academy, and I know the two of you, although you're not federal, you're not federal representatives or U.S. representatives, you work in the West Virginia State House, you're close to these issues, the security of President Obama as well as the overall Obama administration. Can you comment on that?
You want to take that, Kurt? Guy, my name is Kurt.
You know, I need to forget his name. This guy Barton, and
are you Kurt Queedy, or which one?
This guy Barton.
I'm Kurt Queedy, son. I'm sorry. I forgot my own name. I said, do you want to take that, Kurt? And you were talking about yourself? Yes, I was. I was talking about myself. I said, would you take that, Kurt? And I didn't want to take it. I won't give it a guy, you know.
It happens a lot of times when I'm answering the phone on the talk lines, R.C. People, I'll say, here is John, and the guy will say, hi, John.
What do you mean?
I mean, in other words, people sometimes are so nervous that they will, if I say, here's John on the Phil Henry Show, and he'll say, hi, John.
I'm a little confused about that.
What does that mean, Phil?
It means that sometimes people will refer to themselves when they are nervous. That's all. All right, let's just go. So which one of you guys is going to take this question?
Well, I have to tell you, Phil, I forget the question.
The question was, you guys are familiar with the security, the Secret Service situation around President Obama. And
That's right, Phil. This is Guy Barton, Phil. I'll take that. I'm awfully sorry. I forgot because your reference to me being so nervous. I know what my name is.
Yeah, I don't know my name, you know. But I know my name, and my name's R.C. Collins, and, you know.
All right, I see. This is Guy Barton, R.C., and I want to ask you a question.
What's your name again?
Guy Barton.
Guy Barton?
His name is Guy Barton.
Shut up. One of the guys here thought it was Gay Bar. I'm sorry.
My name is not Gay Bar.
That's pretty good, son. Gay Bar.
No, my name is not Gay Bar. I can tell you that right now. Although I have nothing against gay people, you understand?
Well, that's good, because we fight for all Americans.
All right, come on. Can we get going?
I'm sorry, Phil. Question about president, the security of the apparatus president.
Tell us all about it, Gay Bar.
Okay, what do we got going on?
I'm sorry, Phil. I shouldn't have said that. This is Kirk Wheatie.
I admit, once, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, and you go straight to hell. You understand that? That's how I say that.
Well, no, sir, it's fool me once, shame
on... Hold on. What are you guys doing? Are we going to talk about President Obama? Or are you guys getting off into...
I'm not getting off on anything.
No, I'm not either, Phil. I don't appreciate that.
I'm saying, are you going to start talking about other stuff?
No, I want to talk about President Obama, but I just when they started calling me Gay Bar...
All right, nobody's going to call anybody Gay Bar, okay?
Well, it seems like a shame because it was kind of a... I thought it was a very cute name, Phil. I don't mean, I'm not trying to sidetrack us, but I had to get it in, you know.
I appreciate one-time shot.
Yeah, that's all it was a one-time shot. Yeah, guys got to get it in.
I appreciate the one-time shot. I'll give you that. But don't start leaning on it, all right? You do that Gay Bar thing, and all bets are off, okay? We might have ourselves a shooting situation.
Oh, come on now.
I'm just kidding around. Look, R.C., this is Gay Bar, if you want to call me that.
Yeah, what's up, Gay Bar?
That's real good. Here's what I want to say. I want to say that President Obama is surrounded by the very finest security apparatus that the world has ever known. They're called the Secret Service. The Secret Service of the United States has secured the lives of a great many presidents. And yes, Mr. Henry was very right when he pointed out that horrible, horrible day in November 1963. I remember Guy, I don't know if Guy was born, but Kurt was born. I mean,
Look at that, Gay Bar. You don't even know your own name.
I forgot my own name there, didn't I?
Yeah, my name is Kurt. You're Gay Bar now, I guess.
I'm Gay Bar. But Kurt was not born. And, R.C., I imagine you were not born. Yeah, of course you weren't born. Mr. Henry, I guess you were in college, right?
No, I was not in college. I was in grade school.
Oh, okay.
How old were you then, Phil?
When Kennedy was assassinated, I was 11 years old.
So you got into college as an 11-year-old?
I wasn't in college.
I'm sorry. So that was a very terrible day. And we have learned, just as Phil said, we've learned an awful lot. And the thing we've learned now is that the President of the United States must be protected at all costs. His safety is very important to the American people. And I can assure you that President Obama is being protected by the very finest.
What about the guys down in Colombia when they were bird-dogging prostitutes?
I understand that, and believe me when I tell you, and I say this respectfully, but this is coming from someone who, unfortunately, and I say this, I bird-dogged my fair share. I'm not proud of that.
Well, that's the truth. Yeah, I read your dossier, if you will.
I'm not proud of it, you know. And
yeah, I'm going to talk about bird-dogging support. This boy here, he was all over it like white on rice. No kidding. Boy, you have to sit down and tell me about it.
I don't want to tell you about nothing because I'm not proud of that, you know. I'm a married man. And at one time, I was bird-dogging. When you talk about bird-dogging, you know, you're talking to an old hunter. I'm a quail hunter, all right, so I know all about it. And it comes the average prostitute. Let me tell you something. I got nothing but money and nothing but time, you know.
Well, that's the truth, brother. I tell you, he doesn't lie there. Yeah, I'd really love it. Are you going to write a book about it or something?
Well, you know, I thought about...
What are we talking about here? You and your prostitutes are protecting President Obama.
I'm sorry. Again, Phil, I'm sorry. I got...
Looked to me like Gay Bar got sidetracked. Yeah, Gay Bar, keep your mind on business.
I'm not trying to say here. And
look, you know, hold on for just a minute here. Hold on.
I'm talking about...
No, hold on for a minute. I don't want to hear that gay bar anymore. Do you understand? Once was enough. Ha, 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 ha.
You don't mind, do you, gay bar?
Well, I don't really mind.
Hey, hey, I'm going to tell you right now, RC, I'll hang up on you. The man's name is Guy Barton. Have a little respect, okay?
Yes, sir.
Well, Phil, I appreciate that, but I also understand our young people, you know. And
I know that, but you got to, the kids today, you got to make sure that they get it, you know?
Well, I mean, you don't have to talk about me like I'm not here.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Phil, this is Kurt. Can I interject something?
Go ahead.
Look, I totally agree with you, Phil. I don't want you thinking at all that I would do anything or the Guy Barton would do anything to usurp or otherwise upset the control that you're trying to exercise over this here radio show. And so I want you to know from the bottom of my heart I respect that.
I appreciate it.
And I know God does, too. And I would say to young R.C., you know, R.C., we're having some fun here. You sound like a good young man. But I don't want you to feel that we should disrespect anybody. And I didn't think I was, but I don't think he was either. I think that guy, you know, we all... But Phil is a man, you know, he's probably got a lot to worry about. He's probably not as good-looking as we are. I don't know whether or not Mr. Henry's got all his hair. I don't think he does.
What has this got to do with me now? Okay, so I got problems, and that's why I'm acting the way I am?
Well, get out there. It only stands to reason, Phil.
You know what? I'm going to hang up on all of you guys, okay? Because I think it's very upsetting and very insulting.
Well, Phil, I was going to talk about, do you still have enough testosterone?
877.
Look at me.
877-876-PHIL. I just, you know, we'll go to a break and then we'll come back. And I'm going to get on the phone with those guys during the break and tell them that we're talking about one thing and one thing only. That's the Secret Service. You know, this is costing me money. This is costing me money.
Yeah, I understand it.
We're the ones that are calling West Virginia and God knows what else to talk to these guys about the security of the president and the Secret Service. And what do they want to go off on about? They want to talk about gay bar and all of the prostitutes that Guy Barton's been bird dogging. I got nothing but time and nothing but money.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, great. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I just made nothing bad, you know, I don't.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. And just a note that we have posted it on our website. For those of you who are watching our video cast tonight, the video cast will end at midnight tonight. Phil TV and HD will end at midnight tonight because of some, shall we say, because of, there's nothing technically wrong, and I'm okay. We have a early appointment, not early, but we have an involved appointment tomorrow that necessitates that we leave our video cast, but our radio show will continue. So tonight the video cast ends at midnight. Just got a few more minutes here. 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton have joined us as well from Charleston, West Virginia. We're talking about the Secret Service, guys. Okay, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. Guy and Kurt, you understand that?
Absolutely, Phil. I understand.
Yes, Phil.
And R.C.?
Yes, sir, Mr. Henry. I mean, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Okay, that's fine. So when you guys were going off on all that other silly stuff...
Well, I'm sorry, Phil. You know, I need to apologize to you because what I did was I encouraged that.
Yeah, and I did, too. I want to be fair on that. I did, too. So, Phil, you're absolutely right.
Okay, so let's, you know, we can forget about all the nonsense. And, R.C., your question is about the security of the president. So, Guy, do you want to take that?
Yeah, I'll take that, Phil. The president of the United States, as I said, is very secure in his personal safety because the Secret Service, Phil, is the finest security apparatus that any leader of any country has ever had. And I would even go so far as to tell you that they are better than anything that the Roman emperors had, anything that the early kings had in medieval times. Any kind of security that the Chinese emperors had.
What about the Japanese?
Yes, including the Japanese emperor. I think that they had...
What about Maximilian, the emperor of Mexico?
That's probably not as good as that.
I think it's probably, no, I think it's better than he got shot, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying to both of you, Phil, and your audience and the RC, is the best security that the President of the United States has ever had.
What about Hitler? What about the SS?
Well, no, now there, that's better than the President.
Yeah, I'd have to say that'd be better than the President, yeah. Okay, so, you know.
What's the point here?
I don't know, I mean.
What are you talking about, RC?
Well, I'm just saying, the president. You said that the president's got the best security. What was not as good as the SS and the Hitler times?
Okay, so it wasn't as good as the SS. What do you mean, not as good as the SS?
Well, I mean, look about Phil. Hitler had like I don't know 3,000 guys, and they torture you if you try to kill Hitler. Well, they take you and they cut it. They cut everything off.
Oh yeah, they cut. Yeah, they'd do bad stuff to you. Yeah, I bet you that probably kept Hitler way safer than Obama or anybody.
What is that supposed to... How do you know? Just because you got a bunch of guys in SS uniforms?
The kid asked me, I have...
Yeah, Mr. Henry, he said that the president has got the best security apparatus of anybody what has ever been. And I'm just saying, you know...
No, I heard what you said. What about the SS? So, what about the SS?
Nobody ever killed Hitler.
Well, he was only in power for 12 stinking years. You know, I mean, how long's the Secret Service been around?
How long what?
How long's the Secret Service been around?
Secret Service? I thought you said Social Security there for a minute. I know Social Security been around since FDR.
Yeah, the FDR is the one who did Social Security.
I'm not asking about Social Security. I'm asking about the Secret Service.
Secret Service been around for over 100 years. Protecting President? Is that what you mean by protect President?
Yes, protecting presidents. How long has the Secret Service been around?
Like 120 years, something like that, Phil. I'm not exactly sure, but a long time. And in the time that they've been protecting presidents, they've done a very good job, Phil. Very good job. So I'd have to say that...
one of them got killed.
Okay, will you just stop?
I have the right to speak out on the... I have freedom of speech. The young man does have a right, Phil.
Now, hold on. I'll control my show, Kurt, if you don't mind. Yes, you do, young man. But,
yes, I do, young man.
Yes, you do, young man. But I also want to hear the response of Mr. Barton, and I want this to be put in a proper context. I don't want a whole lot of rapid-fire, stupid questions. What about this? What about that?
What did I do?
Oh, what do you mean? Oh, the Japanese emperor. What about Maximilian of Mexico?
Maximilian? No way. He got shot.
No, I understand that.
Well, yeah, and I was asking about the relative security of the president, and then I go, Hitler, and then he goes, yeah, Hitler had it better.
I mean, I had to assume that Hitler had it better.
You don't know what Hitler had. Hitler had all these guys, all these SS jackasses, and you know what? They had laws. They didn't even have any law, so anybody that even looked at Hitler cross-eyed, they could kill the guy.
What? What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is, of course nobody's going to try to kill Hitler. If you looked at the guy cross-eyed, somebody'd kill you.
Well, Phil's got a point there, R.C. I think, if you live in a society where you're afraid to even look cross-eyed at a man for fear they're going to take you downtown, and you know what I mean by downtown, don't you? I think so, sir, yeah. Okay. And I'm not talking about the physical downtown. I mean taking you downtown in terms of what they do to you, you know?
Oh, you're talking about that, yeah. Yeah, they take you downtown.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they would.
Right.
Thanks for telling me what you're talking about.
Well, Mr. Henry, you seem a little delicate tonight.
We didn't want to upset you. What?
Get out of here, all of you guys.
Just hang up on him, man. We're going to find out what downtown was.
Well, I guess we're not going to find out what downtown means.
Well, it has something to do with what you do with a broom handle.
Anyway. that was a nice exercise in not getting to the point, man. All I wanted to know, and all that I thought R.C. Collins wanted to know, was exactly how secure the President of the United States is in these post-Columbia days, the further adventures of our Secret Service in Columbia. And I'm sure that he's fine, and I'm sure the Secret Service has reacted very, very well to the events of that particular episode. And, I'm all for guys having a good time. I got no problem with that at all. No problem at all. But every job has a different demand, and every job, some jobs have demands that even go beyond the workday. You know, when you're off of your off the clock, but you're still a Secret Service agent, you are viewed a certain way, and there are things that can happen, things that you might do, things that you might say, places that you might go, people that you might meet, people that...
Get to the point, will you? I'm sorry, I didn't mean that.
You too, get out of here.
Hey, Phil, I didn't do nothing.
Get out of here, both of you guys, until I tell you to come back.
Get to the point, will you? I didn't mean to say it.
Oh, quit crying, you big baby. Don't ever come in and don't ever do that.
I'm sorry.
I'm talking, then you can talk when I tell you you can talk.
Get to the point, will you?
Where was I? I forget. Anyway, there are ways that a guy can act off the clock when he's in his own private time that still compromises what's going on. All right? You got to know how to read events, man. You have to know how to read the various events of the time. So I'm sure things are going swimmingly there for President Obama. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. As I mentioned to our videocast viewers, our videocast will end at midnight tonight. I apologize, but the demands of the morrow, meaning tomorrow, are such that we need to leave the air early. I just wanted to get to one other story here that I thought was pretty interesting here, and it is the defense here of Jerry Sandusky. I don't know if we're going to have enough time to get into it, but they're pitching, Jerry Sandusky's attorneys are pitching what is called it's a dysfunction of some kind, histrionic personality disorder. It's defined by the American Psychiatric Association as a pervasive pattern of excessive emotionality and attention-seeking that is often characterized by inappropriate sexually seductive or provocative behavior and rapidly shifting emotions. According to the National Institute of Health, histrionic personality disorder occurs more often in women than in men. One expert, however, questions whether it is a separate personality disorder or just an aspect of a broader personality series of personality defects. This is going to be, or at least this is, the attempted defense that the Jerry Sandusky legal team is attempting. And as you know, and I'm sure a lot of you do, the prosecution rested on Friday. Yes, it was rather quick, wasn't it? I mean, it started early in the week and it ended on Friday. They presented all their witnesses. They presented all their evidence. They got all the statements on record that they wanted to get on record, and they have rested. And now it is the defense's turn. It's been... This disorder, by the way, has been removed from one manual of diagnostic and statistical manual of mental health. So we'll find out how successful that is. More to come on the radio side and, of course, in our podcast tomorrow at philhendryshow.com and our videocast tomorrow and our free Phil Hendry podcast right now. It's all ahead. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go beyond the looking glass to places other talk shows wish they could go, but they can't, and they don't, so they wouldn't, and they shouldn't, and that's where that am at. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com, the strong-eyed arm of the Phil Hendry Show. Go over to our website, get a backstage pass.
Watch the screen and watch the video.
Oh yeah, watch our live streaming video. Listen to our archives. Listen to our daily podcasts and become a member of the only real radio station you should subscribe to, the Phil Hendry Show. I mean, all of the other ones. I got an email from a former friend of mine that decided he was going to go into talk radio.
Yeah.
And he went into talk radio. He got himself a show, and he was a conservative. And I went on his website last night. I think he's no longer going to have the show. He's going to go back to doing what he does, which is basically produce movies, which he does a really good job doing that. But this talk show he had, anyway, I went on and it's just Obama bash, Obama bash, Obama bash. And And, of course, there was a time when you thought, well, there must be a never-ending, unending, you know, need for that kind of thing, because every jackass with a show does that. Well, apparently there isn't, because this cat, you know, he's done for. Well, we don't do that here. On our show, we try to bring to you different points of view. Last hour, a good example there. Gary Parton, a longtime respected reporter. And here's this guy saying that Rick Perry now objectively has ceased being human. He's more vegetable matter. Now, where are you going to hear that?
Yeah, maybe they go into a nut asylum or something, and they hear...
Shut up. So anyway, join our website, philhenryshow.com, and get a backstage pass. And the BSP that called me during the break, I heard what you said, sir. I'd like to do that, but not tonight. All right. We did have lined up General Galen Shaw on Japanese whaling, but Robert Green has, my understanding is, Bob suggests a little bit of airtime. Robert Green is a sponsor of ours. At Fraser Foods has been sponsoring this radio broadcast since 1999, and we're very happy to have Bob Green on the line with us from Fraser Foods in Buena Park on the subject of the recession, on the subject of the people who are out of work. We don't hear about homeless people. It's funny, Bob, I was watching a movie today, My Man Godfrey from the 30s. You know it?
Oh, yeah, I know that film very well, Phil, with William Powell. It's a commentary on the... it's a wonderful commentary, I think, Phil, on the depression of the 30s.
It was a very interesting movie. And I know that as a grocery CEO, as a man who has been doing business directly with the public for a great many years, you see how people suffer.
Every day. And every day we attempt to be as good a neighbor as we can to our customers and to the people that have supported us all these years, Phil. And I know their names. I know their faces. I know the names of their families. I know the names of their kids. And whatever we can do as an organization, as a member of this neighborhood, as a national organization, as a national grocery chain, we do what we can. And that's why our operation, Kid Stop, went into effect last week. And I'm doing it for my son because I felt bad for what happened, Phil. And I told you and I told a few people, I felt very bad for what happened. And so we're doing this. And we're going to try and make it up to all the families and all the kids out there.
Well, Bob, look, people get angry, and what Robert Green's talking about here, folks, and Bob, I'll let you go into more detail, is you struck your son in anger after he made a comment about poor people, right?
Well, what happened was, Phil, and I guess we're getting the cart ahead of the horse a little bit.
Go ahead and tell it, then we'll fill in the blanks.
I was home. The kids are with me. Their mother has been very, very sick, and I was cooking dinner that night. I had come back from the office. I was literally standing there in my dress shirt and my tie with my sleeves rolled up, trying to get some dinner together for the kids. I was cooking some soup, or I was going to cook some soup, and got the pot out. I said to the kids, I was going through the store today, and I saw the amounts of dog food that we sell. I said we had an enormous amount of dog food and cat food. I said that takes up space in our store at a time when we ought to be doing what we can to feed people. And my son said, why don't you feed the poor people dog food? And that's when instinctively I had this soup pot. And I just, I hit him across the face with it.
That's anger.
It's a lot of anger. And I told him I was sorry, and we shook hands, and it had been a big misunderstanding. But I felt bad about it. And since that time, I...
You hit him with the soup pot. Was he hurt?
Well, you know, he's okay. He's fine. I think sometimes we make a bigger deal out of these things than we should. I said I was sorry, and I am sorry. He's a big boy. It was the wrong way to discipline my son. But understand, I was angry because he'd made a comment about poor people eating dog food, and I thought that that was an insult. I will tell you one other thing that we've done. And I told my son, I said, his name is Richard. I said, Richard, I have taken your advice. We're going to get rid of all of the pet food and dog food. The other thing that even more to the point, Phil, that we're getting rid of are a lot of these pet toys. and other accessories for pets. We are right now in the middle of a terribly desperate economic situation in this country. There are families that are not eating. There are people without work. Americans have lost their hope in many ways. And I'll be a son of a gun, Phil, if I'm going to have those people come into my store, people that are hungry and people that are cold, and see me selling cat sweaters or these dog chew toys or dog food or these cat condos, these ridiculous things that you've seen. And
now, these cat condos, just so people know, it's a little multi-level thing that cats climb up and...
Well, no, you shouldn't minimize it. It's quite... I think it's a very sophisticated and, I will say, luxurious way for a cat to live. And the other things we have, these dog sweaters, and I think it's an insult to human beings at a time like this to carry things like that. I had a couple of my guys bring two or three of the dumpsters around the front of the store, and I dumped all of this into the dumpster and left it there. Because I knew there'd be a lot of people coming into the store the next day and would see exactly what we had thrown into that dumpster.
Now, you threw all of this stuff into the dumpster to make a statement, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
What was that?
Well, the statement was to say to the...
Because you have a lot of people that come into your store that are animal owners. Do you have pets?
No, we don't have pets. We don't... I wouldn't waste my... I think that pets are a wonderful, wonderful addition to a home if you've reached a point in your life where you just don't, I guess you don't want to deal with human beings, but I've got children and I have friends and we are in the world and I'm not going to, I don't have the time for a dog, if that's what you mean. But I'll tell you this, we had people come into the store, they're big pet lovers, they're always asking about, do you have this kind of pet food, do you have that? They buy the hats, they buy the sunglasses, and the pet accessories. And I said, these are the people that I want to see what's in the garbage as they come in, because I want them to know very clearly what kind of a store they're coming into. So the next morning when I had all of this in the dumpster, I had comments from a few of them.
What'd they say?
Well, they weren't very happy. They said, quite obviously, you're not in the pet accessory business anymore. And I said, you got that right.
And is that what you said? You got that right?
I most certainly did say that. I said, you got that right. And they said, where's all the dog food? And I said, life is too short for me to be wasting space in my store with food for animals that is of a higher grade than a lot of the baby food we have. And I said to them, if I could get away with relabeling some of this and calling it baby food, I would.
You wouldn't really do that, would you?
Well, I mean, why not? I mean, some of that food, as I said, is of a higher quality, has more nutrition and more vitamins in it than much of the really expensive baby food that we have. And it's cheaper, and it's better. So I said to them, I'm not going to go. I said, that is an abomination. And we had words, you know.
Well, Bob, you're a very outspoken guy, especially a guy that works with the public as much as you do. By getting rid of pet accessories such as the chew toys and the dog sweaters and all this stuff, and getting rid of all of this dog and cat food, you've alienated, obviously, a lot of people.
Well, no, I don't think so, Phil. People will just know we don't go into Fraser Foods, to go shopping, grocery shopping for dogs. And frankly, if that's the way they think, I'm grateful. I don't want people to think, oh, let's stop in at Fraser Foods and pick up a sweater for our cat. It's ridiculous, you know. And
no, I understand that. All right. We'll see if we'll get some comments from people on this. My own feeling is, and the reason why I wanted to have you on the show is, I for some reason, I'm troubled by this. I understand that you have a good point of view.
Well, what do you mean troubled?
Well, I understand that your intentions are good. But for some reason, I just think that getting rid of dog food and dog accessories and cat accessories, because you, I don't know, you know.
It's, Phil, we've got people that are starving to death out there, and I'm wasting my time and my patience on answering some old lady's question about a cat sweater. No way, not anymore. Maybe that was Bob Green a year ago, but not anymore.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. In the middle of a recession, economic downturn, is it proper to be selling dog and cat accessories, cat food, cat condominiums, dog sweaters, cat hats? Bob Green has eliminated all of the pet food and pet accessories from his store. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Robert Green on the line with us from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California, as we talk about these down economic times, tough times. You know, Bobby, it was funny. I got gas today, and I was looking at the price of the gas I was getting, 87 octane, and it was right off the freeway in Westlake Village, California, and it was $3.71 a gallon. And I remember thinking, back in the 70s, when I was a young man, and we would hear about Europeans back then,
$3.50 a gallon.
Exactly. $3.50 a gallon, or whatever it was, 3 pounds, or about the same thing, though. And I remember thinking, how the hell can they afford that?
We had no idea how good we had it, Phil. And you're right. The Europeans were paying an enormous amount of money for gasoline, and we never thought that that would happen in the United States. Well, it's happened, and, you know, just like I said, Phil, you know, knock wood that you and I are healthy, we're working. There's a lot of people that are not, and I'm selling pet toys. I remember when I got home that night, and I was cooking, and the kids were running around, and it was a little hectic, and I'm in my dress shirt, I got my sleeves rolled up, I'm trying to get some soup going, I'm cooking a stew, I'm trying to get the kids to sit down and shut up, and, you know, and I got this empty pot in my hand that I'm about to put Lipton soup into. And I said to them, and I was telling the kids, you know, boy, all this cat food and dog food we got. And my son goes, almost like Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake, Phil, you know.
Uh-huh.
I said, he says, well, have the poor people eat the dog food. And almost instinctively, I came across with my right hand like I was swinging to hit a baseball, except it was my son's head. And I hit him with a soup pot.
I hope the kid's okay.
He's fine. He's like his old man. He's got a head like a rock. And I did apologize to him, and I said, Richard, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're saying. And in a time like this, well, we've got so many people suffering, and you're coming on like Marie Antoinette. And, of course, he goes, who's Marie Antoinette? And he's all rubbing his head and crying. I said, I'll tell you who she was. You got a soup pot against the head? She doesn't have a head. And then he started to laugh because he thought I was kidding. I said, I'm not kidding. And then the littlest one, Mary, said, no, Richard, it's true, because she'd studied Marie Antoinette. And we started talking about guillotines, and believe it or not, that lightened the mood, if you can believe that, talking about beheading people. But
oh, man, what a family. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Bob is talking about getting rid of cat toys, getting rid of dog toys, getting rid of pet accessories. Because of the tough economic times that we're in, and you've got a lot of customers that are upset with you. Let's go to Jay. We got Jay on the Phil Hendry Show. And Jay, what is your comment? You're on with Bob Green. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Bob. I'm calling from Reno, Nevada, and I grew up in Fullerton. And I've never heard of Fraser Foods. Are you a newer store? Or?
Yes, we are.
Oh, I see, because I've been gone for like 20, 30 years now. But my comment is, it's like any other product. If you go into the store, sometimes it's a convenience just to pick up pet products rather than go shopping there and then go to a pet store, let's say. It's like if you quit selling milk or something, people are going to have to go somewhere else to get their milk.
Sodium milk? What is that?
No, I said if people are at a store and they need a product for their pet, rather than go to a pet store or whatever, they can get all their shopping done at one store. So if you could,
well,
sell
no, I know what the thinking is behind having. I understand that. I've been in retail for a lot of years. I'm saying that I don't carry that anymore because I don't want to sell products to people so their pets are comfortable while we have, you know, uncomfortable human beings out there.
Well, what about people?
I would rather a pet. Let me put it this way: I'd rather a dog die of starvation than a human.
Boy, that's a stark choice. Do we?
What about people that don't have children but they have pets and they have disposable income? Their children are like.
I think what they should do with that income is give it to the needy, give it to a poor, you know, one of these food banks or something. Give it over to the whoever you can think of in terms of assisting people. And your dog and your cat, you have disposable income, and the thing you're going to do is buy a cat condo? Wow.
Well, my mom used to tie 10% for charity and for people and things like that with her church, but she
I can't take that.
What do you mean you can't take it?
It's the more this guy talks, the more angry I get thinking about some of these people.
Well, what about his mother? She's giving this to a church.
Don't ask me anything else about his mother. I don't want to.
All right.
I'm sorry. I don't want to insult you, Jay, but I can't stand hearing it.
Well, anyway,
she gives 10% to a church. Why doesn't she give 10% to a cat? It's the same thing.
No, giving 10% to a church is giving 10% to humans.
No, to a church, you said, not to an organization. You said a church?
Yes, that's what he said.
You might as well give it to a cat.
She has a dog.
You might as well give it to a cat. You might as well give it to not a dog, a cat.
All right. Thanks for your call anyway, Jay. 877-876 Phil, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
That gentleman sounded like the very person I'm talking about, a guy that needs a hot meal and a bed to sleep in rather than standing all night under a freeway overpass calling talk shows.
That's not what. How do you know he's doing that?
Because I just believe me.
877-876 Phil. I'm going to go down to another phone call here. Glenn, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Glenn, go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? Just
fine.
Driving towards California,
yes,
now,
sir.
And I just couldn't help but notice talking about, you know, takeaway pet toys or whatever like that. And having served my country for 23 years and 3 tours in Iraq, one thing I'm proud of is the freedom. And regardless of what the recession is or our country is, you know, people have a right to buy whatever they feel like they want to buy. And by someone not putting it in their store, they're going to go to another store. But still, what gives you the right to deny somebody what they've earned their money for and decided that they want to spend their money for?
Well, look, let me put it this way, sir. First of all, thank you for your service to our country. Did you go to Iraq to die for your country or to die for someone's poodle? I think you'd say you didn't go to die, but you would give your life for your country, not for a kennel filled with poodles. And I would not ask that of you. And I wouldn't ask that of any soldier. I want our soldiers to come home safe, having killed the enemy to protect America, not some old lady's poodle. And that's the thing that made me angry. That I know good young men like you are over there, and we've got poor people that can't eat, you know, we got tough economic times in America. We've had them before, but thought that some poodle is going to sit there in a sweater and sleep in a bed.
Liberty.
Okay, hold on. I tell you what you do for me. Glenn, you hang on the line, Glenn. I'm going to be right back with you. So don't worry. We're not going to lose your call. And we'll be back with Robert Green. We have to break. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't go anywhere.
Wait a minute. I was saying the old lady's poodle.
Phil Hendry.
Come on.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now that's interesting. You got to tell the story. Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. With me is Robert Green from Fraser Foods. As he talks about taking a very bold step in his store, and that is getting rid of all the pet accessories and pet food, because for Bob, carrying those kinds of things in the middle of down economic times doesn't make any sense, is almost an insult to humans, and has run the risk of losing the favor and the patronage of his pet-owning people. This is an interesting comment you made. When you hit your son with that pot, you say that there had been an ongoing feud.
Bill, no, I wouldn't call it an ongoing feud. What happened was the week before, we have a boat. I've got a small inboard runabout. I got an Evinrude, a couple of Evinrudes on the back, and I take the kids out sometimes, and we go bonita fishing and this kind of thing. And we went out with a friend of my son, Richard's, and this boy had never been out on the ocean before. He had he originally came to California with his family from Denver. So they were landlocked people, and I decided to have some fun with the kid, and I was skipping some waves, and the boy started to cry, and I was very sorry. I didn't mean to upset him, but my son ever since then had been sort of breaking my you-know-whats until finally it escalated to the point where, we had to get some bad blood out, and I went ahead and went at him with a soup pot after he, came at me. So
you say that your son came at you when he said, feed the poor the dog food.
Oh, that was definitely, yeah. He was trying to be a smartass. There's no question about it. But I shouldn't have hit him with the pot.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. And
what do you think about the kid?
I think it's cruel if it's a child to scare that kid.
Okay, that surprises me.
Why would that surprise you? How old was the boy?
About 11. But, I wasn't going to capsize the boat.
You know, people that have never been out on the ocean before in a craft of any kind, it's like people that have never flown before. It's a little scary for them. It's scary,
What does that mean, scary? You mean, what are they telling me that they can't swim?
It doesn't matter if you can swim or not, man. Being in all of that water is frightening. It's frightening. I know I'm a damn good swimmer, and I've been out in the ocean many times, and it's still a little daunting for me to think about capsizing a boat out there. So you asked me my opinion. I'm giving you my opinion. I'm going to get back to our caller, Glenn. Glenn, I'm sorry we had to interrupt you, but you go right ahead, sir, with your comment.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it. Just like I said,
yes, sir.
I believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And if that means that somebody needs to go buy a shirt for their cat or dog or a toy, regardless of the situation our country is in, they have the right to do so. And if we stop at where would it end? What else would we cut out? What else would we stop? We don't live in Russia. That's all I have to say.
Well, you're right, sir. And I would say again that I I'm not asking for a federal law to eliminate the sale of these things. But I am saying that as retailers, as merchants, which is what I am, and I have my business, thanks in part to the great work of yourself and your comrades in the armed forces, I got to do something that's right for America. I got to do something that's right by you guys, and that's right for my country. And what I'm doing to be a patriot is, I could care if every dog in America starved slowly.
Boy, that almost sounds un-American.
What are you talking about?
You want dog? People love dogs.
I can't hear you, Phil. There's something wrong with the phone. It's going like that.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I said it's almost un-American.
What is?
Wanting dogs to starve slowly?
Ask the soldier. He's a soldier. He was in Iraq. Is Glenn there? Glenn.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm Mr. Green. I'm Bob Green. Wouldn't you agree that probably you wouldn't want dogs to starve, but you know what I mean.
No, I mean, dogs are, if you look, as we were in Iraq, many times we'd pick up stray dogs and use them as mascots because it helped the morale of the soldiers, when you're out there in literally hell on earth, where it's 140 degrees in the summertime and, in the teens in the wintertime, you need something to boost your morale and dogs or cats, per se, help fill that void of, being a human.
Well, but when you guys came home, what'd you do with the dog? Did you?
Sometimes
eat it.
Some units
eat it.
They'd request you to bring them back to the States, and some of them have. Other times, we'd just pass them on to the other units that were coming in to fill us, and they would just take over from there and, care and feed the animals.
Oh, that's really cool. I don't know if a lot of Americans know that. That's awesome.
Well, I, you know, okay, if you guys say it's awesome, but here's a dog that's taking rations out of the mouth of a soldier, you know.
Oh, come on. The soldiers want to do it. Do you understand, Bob? They don't mind feeding
it's
that animal.
Health and welfare, it's a mental, when you're going through it's, a lot of things, you know, in a combat zone, that little comfort of, you know, that animal there, it does
right.
help a lot. We use it a lot.
Exactly.
We use dogs in snipping out bombs and other stuff, things that helped us in our missions over there anyway.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you have some kind of dog food? What do you guys have for dog food?
Yes,
what do you
they,
use?
We,
I mean,
we buy dog food or we give them some of our MREs.
You guys buy dog food? See, that's what I'm saying. This is taxpayer dollars and they're shipping dog food. So Alpo has got themselves in. Well, that's great. Must be nice to be Alpo.
Oh, come on, man. I mean, we're talking about soldiers now. Listen, Glenn, thanks very much. And thank you for your service to our country. We appreciate it, man. Have a good evening. 877-876-PHIL.
You know, Phil, he's a soldier. You're not. So when you're saying, hey, thanks, man. Don't get too buddy-buddy. I mean,
hey, you know something, Bob? The more you talk,
the less you like it?
Exactly. Exactly. For a minute there, I'm thinking, well, you know, I can understand his attitude about dog food and this and that. Now you're bitching at some soldier because they're feeding a stray dog. Can you imagine being a stray dog in Iraq?
Well, I tell you one thing. I can't believe they've got strays. You figure with all of the roadside bombs and the mortars, you know, the dog population.
All right, I understand what you're saying. Are you trying to be funny?
Phil, do you think it's funny, dead dogs?
You do?
No, I don't. I said it's necessary. How dare you think I think it's funny?
877-876-PHIL.
I'm going to say it again. How dare you think I think it's funny?
Well, you're making some very inappropriate comments, I think. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Joe on the Phil Hendry Show. Joe, go ahead.
Okay, now you said you done away with all your dog food, cat food, all the accessories
yes.
for animals, right?
Yes, sir. That's correct, yeah.
Okay, I don't blame you to a certain point.
Thank you.
If somebody wants to sell cat food and dog food, it should be picked up from a pet store. They sell nothing but
yeah.
pet food and pet supplies.
But in the middle of a recession, and with that soldier talking, you know, we got guys in Iraq. You're telling me you want to have pet stores? I don't understand the need for these. That's the point that I'm making.
Number one, if somebody wants to have a pet, if they can afford a pet, and they can afford their kids, and take care of both at the same time, there ain't a problem with that.
Except for one thing. The pet store that sells the pet sweaters and binoculars and any other asinine thing, that's taking up space that we could put a 7-Eleven in, or, well, okay.
Oh, we need more of those, that's for sure. A 7-Eleven.
Well, okay. You know what I mean, though.
No, I tell you what, how about another Starbucks?
You know something, Phil, you can make all the smart-ass comments you want, but the fact is, we need another store, so we've got a big fat supply of pet food, so that when a homeless guy walks by, he can feel real good about life.
Well, if a homeless guy walks by, he feels bad about life, he should be going down to a homeless shelter, and somebody should be donating food to those homeless shelters to help.
Aha! Uh-huh. Right there, okay? You just stepped in it. Right there, you stepped in it. So the homeless guy goes down to some sewer to eat, and the cat gets to live in a condo. That's what you just said. And that's what I find to be un-American.
No, the guy didn't say go down to a sewer.
Well, that's what a cat's doing. The cat's sleeping on a bed, wearing clothes, and eating food. I mean, that's what a human is supposed to do, not a cat.
The point that the man's making is and I know that you did when you called in, Joe, and I can almost see your point, Bob, as well, but the fact is, you're saying because we've got a bad economic situation in the country that we might as well just kill all of our pets.
No, I didn't say that.
What was this thing about slow starvation of dogs?
I said I'd rather see all the dogs starve slowly than have one human being die. That's how much I value human life.
Okay, well, value human life. Okay, fine. But
that's ridiculous.
You're animals.
All right. Thank you for your call, sir. 877. You're right, sir. 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, you really blew that. You're right, sir. Yeah, get out of here. I mean, Phil, I'm trying to talk to these people.
I don't think I said get out of here. I am trying to move on to another call.
Well, I try to, you know, that gentleman was on my side, and I think you should have given me a little bit of an opportunity to sort of to revel in that moment that there's a guy that agrees with me, and the two of us can tell you where to stick it, if you'll pardon my expression, because that's what you do with me.
And I don't tell you where to stick it, Bob. I'm just telling you that I am arguing with your point. You're right. And your point is that there shouldn't be any sale of dog, cat, and all this other stuff because of the tough economic...
You know what? Have you tried a dental dam or...
Okay, you know something? Your smart-ass comments aside...
You were the one that made the smart-ass comment about Starbucks and all of that. Let the record show you did that. I didn't do that. You did that.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. I'm telling you that you can have the world you want, Phil, and not have cat sweaters. Cat sweaters. God almighty, will you listen to me? Cat sweaters?
I hear you. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Sophie on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Sophie.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that...
good morning.
Good morning, Robert. That Robert would make a bigger and better statement if he sold the dog food and the cat food and the accessories and took that money and donated it to the poor. And my second point is that, Robert, do you love your children?
Of course I do. I love them more than I love them a lot more than getting a cat a sweater.
Well, you know, you have a job to do. You have a business to take care of. That business puts food on your table. If you didn't do well in your business, because people are not going to come to your store with your attitude, then you're not going
to
have You're not going to have any money left to feed your own children, and they'll starve to death slowly.
Not carrying pet accessories isn't going to break me. Not carrying pet accessories is something that makes a statement. It makes the political statement is the following thing. I wouldn't insult a homeless person by putting hats and shoes on a dog.
Well, what about selling the stuff and giving it to the poor?
No. Yeah, I think it's obscene. I think I would. I'm Catholic, and I would have to go to reconciliation.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm serious.
You think it's a mortal sin?
I think it would blacken my soul, yes. Blacken my soul.
What you're telling me is, I just want to, hold on for a minute, Sophie. Forgive me, Sophie, but...
No.
Because I'm Catholic, too. You're telling me that by selling these accessories, your soul would be blackened and you would go to hell.
If I were to die, yes.
Well, I think you're nuts now. I think you got something wrong with you.
Wow. Boy, that takes guts. You think that, Sophie?
I think he needs to go to a psychiatrist.
Aha. Here we go. Monkey see, monkey do. Mr. Henry says it, so now Sophie says it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you should apologize to Sophie for calling her a God, man.
I didn't call her a monkey. I said monkey see, monkey do. It's a figure of speech.
And another thing, Robert, you always refer to old ladies with poodles. Now, what of that kind of statement you have? What do you have against the old people?
Ma'am, I don't have anything against them, but they are generally the ones that come into my store and ask me, where are the socks for my dog? Do you have a muffler for my cat? Do you have a robe for my dog? These ridiculous things, and it's always some elderly woman holding a poodle like it's a newborn,
and this disturbs me. And this elderly woman probably has very few things in her life right now, and that little poodle brings so much joy to her, and you want to take that joy away? You're a kook.
No, I don't think I'm bringing it. If it gives her so much joy, why does she have to come to the store and buy a beanie for it? Understand that we are now carrying dog beanies? I never thought that I'd ever see that.
Dog beanies?
Yeah, you got it. And some of our Jewish, now get this, some of our Jewish customers, for a laugh, want us to carry dog yarmulkes. I said, I'm not going to do that. I think it's probably sacrilegious.
They must have been pulling your leg.
I don't know.
Listen, Rob, Sophie, thank you very much. Go ahead. One more question. Yeah, go ahead, Sophie.
Oh, I was going to say...
Am I going to talk to her all night, or do I get to talk to somebody else?
The lady wants to ask you another question.
I would think that Robert if I was in his town and I knew his attitude, I would picket his store. And I would make sure that no one went into his store and buy things for him and let him starve to death slowly. Goodbye.
All right. Okay. And then they would probably, I'd have to point out, there's that lady Sophie. She has a beanie for her cat. And then people would laugh at you, and you wouldn't have friends.
Oh, no.
You notice she went, oh, no, and she hung up?
No, unfortunately, I had to cut her off. I apologize, Sophie.
Boy, you wouldn't apologize to me if you cut.
No, you're right. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back with our final segment with Robert Greene.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. If you want to watch us on Phil TV and HD, get a backstage pass to philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, and you can actually watch the show as we perform it each and every night. And those of you that are watching Phil TV and HD, there's our camera number one, and here comes camera number three. And, of course, our standard shot camera number two there. And that picture behind me, by the way, is of the, that's the Modern Family makeup crew. Those guys were in makeup tonight as we went over to Modern Family and shot a scene. We're with Robert Greene here on the Phil Hendry Show. Time for a few more calls in this segment as we talk about Mr. Greene's decision. And this is a chain-wide decision to forego the sale of pet food, to forego the sale of pet accessories. He finds it... Almost a sin, an affront to human beings during a very difficult economic time to sell this kind of product while people are suffering. No more pet accessories, no more pet food. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Mark on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Mark. You're on with Robert Greene.
Yeah, Mr. Greene, the proudest thing I have is you openly admit you sell pet food with more nutrition than a lot of your baby food. Is that correct?
That is true of some of the canned foods have more nutritional value than some of the Gerber's baby food, yes.
Okay, yes. So at what point does that give you the audacity to smack your kid with a soup pot? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you can feed more homeless, hungry people more nutritional animal food than they could buy in baby food, what would be the
harm? Because I wouldn't insult a human being to feed them something that was created for a dog. I don't care if it is more nutritious. What I would do, though, is I would go back to that company and I'd say, if you want to repackage this as food for human beings...
Well, what difference does it make?
It makes a big... So, in other words, you and Mark here, you guys would open up a can of Sheba gourmet cat food and pour it out onto a plate for a human being. And what would you do then, laugh?
No, we wouldn't do that.
If I was hungry, I would eat it. That's what would happen.
I'll bet you would.
Before I starve. But now,
I bet you would.
Question.
What if I stood there laughing at you while you're eating it?
Well, that's fine too. I've been laughed at before. I got one more question for you.
Are you kidding me? Any guy that feeds me cat food, I'll tell you what. That's the last cat food he serves. That'll be the last cat food he serves the cat.
Okay, we got you. Go ahead, Mark.
How many homeless people do you feed when you're out riding around with them twin Evernroots?
What do you mean, how many homeless? I don't feed homeless people. I got a grocery store.
Yeah, well, I just want to know because, I mean, you know, that same feeling you get out of riding around on your little boat riding around on the ocean, some people get that same feeling out of their pets. So, I mean, you know, to each their own.
Well, I really? So, in other words, sir, boy... That you just said a whole lot there because the thrill
I
get out of, I know you did, because the thrill I get out of being on my powerboat, the people would have to have sex with their pets to get the same thrill.
Well, what is that? What does that mean?
I don't know what this guy just said.
That's what you just said.
You weren't about.
No, he didn't say that.
You weren't about. You can bet they're laughing at you out there riding around having sex on your boat. I ain't tell you that.
I'm not. You never had sex on a boat? You ought to try it. With a woman.
What is he laughing? Is that hillbilly's laughing at me?
Well, you're talking about you're having sex with your boat.
I said you'd have to have sex with a cat.
Phil Hendry.
Get the hillbilly back, please.